Hey, good morning, Kairos Church. How you guys doing today? Good? Online, we're so glad that you're here worshiping with us, joining us from online. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for our tech team that works hard to make that happen for you guys. They do a lot for the online, but they also do a lot for us in here. So let's give it up for our tech team, everything that they do. Love that team, thankful for that team, and it's exciting. Well, we are in week three of our series, Stay Salty, and it's been a good couple of weeks, and I wanted to quickly just recap a few things, and then we'll dive into what we're going to talk about today. Now, we have been kind of just preaching from our main verse for the series is Matthew 5:13, and it simply says this, that you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And so that's where our phrase, stay salty, comes from. Now, in the very first week, I challenged us as a church to take a covenant of salt. This is a commitment that we are going to stick to as we live out our days on the earth. And so I wanted to go over the covenant of salt with you again. It'll be up on the screen. And so this is the stay salty covenant. It comes from Matthew 5. It is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And so here we go. The first thing is we're going to do, we're going to depend on God. We're going to grieve over sins, our sins, the sins that are going on around us. We're going to submit to God's word. We're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're going to keep our heart pure. We're going to seek peace and also reconciliation. We're going to suffer in joy. And then lastly, we're going to pray for our enemies. It's a big list, and while it's easy to read, sometimes it's a little bit harder to live out every single day. And so I pray that you're able to have that, you know, that image on your lock screen, on your desktop background, whatever, just as a reminder to stay salty, to do these things every single week. Multiple times throughout the day, I'll hear my kids, just not being very nice, and I'll even say it to myself. I'm like, hey, just remember, you're the salt of the earth, all right? So let's stay salty with one another. And so it's been fun kind of doing that. Oh, the other thing I wanted to let you know, we picked up some stay salty like reminders. So we have these little pins. I'm wearing one. And it just says Matthew 5:13 on it. We have stickers as well that you can put on your car, on your computer, or on your face, whatever you want to do. And there's coasters out there on the tables as well. Those are mostly for here, but if you want to take a coaster, we won't tackle you in the parking lot and get the coaster back. So you can have a coaster if you want. If you're online, come grab one later when no one's here, and I'll meet you at the door, and I'll wear a hazmat suit, and I'll throw one at you. Okay, so there's that. So today, our focus is going to be on the latter part of Matthew 5:13, and so it says, you are the salt of the earth. Then it goes on and says, if salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? You jump over to Mark 9:50. And this is the Amplified Version. It says, salt is good and useful, but if salt has lost its saltiness, its purpose, how will you make it salty? So that's what we're going to talk about. I want to pray, and then we'll get into this. So pray with me. God, today we are so thankful to be here, to be your church, to be your people. Thank you for, giving us breath this morning, for getting us out of bed this morning, for allowing us to come here to worship together and to be in your presence together. Thank you for coffee and for donuts. Most importantly, thank you for your word and for your spirit. May it move in this place and just challenge us to live out the decrees and commands in your word today and all the days of our life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Y'all, I got a little close to this. I almost fell off the stage right there, so that would have been bad. Or funny. It's one of those things that goes viral. I would have just ended the service and we would go home. I'm hurt. Going back to this Mark 9:50, how will you make, if salt loses its taste, it's good, it's useful, but if it loses its taste, how are you going to make it salty again? Now, as I thought about this and I thought about the uses of salt, one of the things, if you get like a sore in your mouth, what do? You gurgle or gargle. I think people say either one of those, right? Who's gurglers? You gurgle it? Oh, no gurgles. Gargle. Okay, everyone's a gargle. I've heard gurgle before, so I didn't want to like make those people feel like they were saying it wrong. So either way, okay, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Okay, so you think about gargling salt water to get rid of that sore and bring healing. I'm gonna use this. So what we do is we have salt. And I bought more salt. So I'm gonna put this salt. I'm probably gonna do way too much. So that's probably too much, right? So we have salt in there, and it is going to be salty. Like if I was just to just do this, it'd be bad. But so what we do is we have the salt and we pour some water in there, right? And what it does is it dilutes it a little bit, so you can kind of take it. And if I was to drink this, it would be very, very salty. Yes. Whole bunch of salt. And so one of the things about gurgling salt water is that the more water you put in there, the more it dilutes the salt, right? So it becomes less salty. The more water, the less salt. I want to actually get a little bit of this. Okay, so there we go. So the more water I add, the more it dilutes. And I was thinking about this. How does salt lose its saltiness? Well, it gets diluted. And the same is true in our lives. As Christians, if we're called to be the salt of the earth, there are many things around us that are going to try to dilute us. And you think about this phrase, watering it down. You ever heard of someone say, oh, they're watering down the gospel? You know what I'm saying? But think about that. Like there's this watering down where we view the worldly things that go against God's word as not a big deal. We dilute it. We rationalize sin, or we begin to tolerate some sin because culture says, you know what, it's okay, and we dilute the salt of the earth. Maybe it's because we're not fully committed to everything that's in God's word. Like we're good with some stuff, right? And we're like, oh, that's good. I love that. I love in Jeremiah where it says God has a good plan for me, but there's some other stuff where we're like, you know what? That might make someone angry, so I'm just going to tuck this one over here, and it dilutes us. Maybe we're only the salt of the earth in certain areas or around certain people, and in those moments, we dilute who we are in Christ. But we're diluted by many different things, with selfishness and pride and envy. Maybe we're diluted by disappointment or unmet expectations. We're diluted oftentimes by choosing to live in sin. And here's the reality. As Christ followers, you must know that the dilutions will keep coming, right? You're going to keep being watered down by the things around you and the world around you because not everyone around you is the salt of the earth. And in order for us to combat that, we've got to keep doing what? We've got to keep adding salt. So, I mean, look at that. Ooh, that's, anyone want to try it? No, Sean. He has no clue, right? So how do you keep salt salty? What do? You salt it, right? You add more salt. Now, this phrase that you are the salt of the earth, it's right there after Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and there's one that kind of I was brought to as I was thinking about keeping our saltiness. And it was Matthew 5:6. And says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Because you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now get this. If you're going to God's word, if you're going to him in prayer, if you're surrounding yourself, they will be filled. They'll be filled up. So the world's going to try to dilute you, but as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. And I think most of us understand what righteousness is. We can go back to our covenant of salt, right? That we're to submit to God's word, that we're to grieve over our sins, that we're to be humble, that we're to be peacemakers, that we're supposed to be pure in heart, that we're supposed to pray for our enemies, that we're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. These things are righteousness. And then you go to the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness and self-control. These are the things that we need to pursue. These are the things that as the salt of the earth that we need to be giving out and continually filling up on. So we kind of know what righteousness entails, but what about its counter? What about unrighteousness? In Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 32. It's going to be on the screen. You can follow along there. I'm going to read it from my Bible, and I'm going to go to verse 28, and it might not be on the screens. Romans 1, verse 28. It says, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness. So here we go. 29 says, they are filled with all unrighteousness, and begins to list these things out. Evil, greed, wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. And although they know God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they even applaud others who practice them. It's this unrighteousness that we see taking place. And I think you hear a list like that, and I think internally we're like, well, you know, I don't do really most of those things. Like, maybe one or two, yes, but no, not the bad stuff. But here's the reality. Murder and gossip fall under the same umbrella of unrighteousness. Hating God, being disobedient to your parents, they fall under that same umbrella of being unrighteous. And we like to convince ourselves that we aren't unrighteous because we don't do the worst of these things. But even the least of these things, in our view anyway, even the least of these things is unrighteousness to God. And so what that means is that we gotta treat gossip, pride, envy, disobedience. We gotta treat those things the same way that we treat murder. But then you gotta take it one step further. Because there's this part right there at the end that says unrighteousness even includes applauding those who practice these things. So we got to make sure that we are not associating or applauding those who are committing these acts. Now, doesn't this kind of bring us to the year that we're in, right? 2020. There's riots and there's violence and hate and brutality and just this complete disregard for people and their things. I'm sure many of you have heard about it or saw, but just last weekend, you know, two police officers were shot in cold blood. And it wasn't like they were arresting somebody or pursuing somebody or there was some unmerited police brutality going on. A man walked up to their patrol car and shot them both in the face. Praise be to God, they are living. And that is a miracle. But you see this video, and it's like, I mean, I don't mean to go here, but there was all this response to what happened to George Floyd, right? And it was bad, and we know that. But something like this happens, and do you know what's taking place? People are laughing about it. There's a video of a man laughing and applauding what just happened. There's a note in my Bible, and I shared it this morning on Facebook, but here's what it says, going back to this list of unrighteousness. It says, when a society applauds others who practice these sins, it has lost its moral compass. And I hate to say it, but as a country, majority have lost their moral compass, and our world, our country has been deluded by unrighteousness and evil. And can I just tell you, it needs more salt. It needs more hope. It needs more healing. It needs the salt of the earth to go out and to bring hope and to tear down pride and to tear down arrogance and selfishness and hate. This world needs more of you going out there and being the salt of the earth. And I think it's real easy to say, well, you know, that happened over there. That was in California. How can I affect that? How can I change that? You better believe that the more people that are out there being the salt of the earth, that are pursuing and thirsting for righteousness, it will have an impact not only on your community, but also the communities that your kids go into. In the communities that your extended family live in. It has an impact. The world needs more salt because with more salt, what comes more healing. The more salt you add, the more healing that you have. There was a study done on mice a few years back and what it would look like to have them on a salt diet. And so they took two groups of mice. One group, man, they had just a heavy diet of salt. The other group, not so much. And then they infected them with a bacteria that would cause wounds to form on their skin. And here's what the study found. The wounds that appeared on the mice's skin, what happened is the mice that were fed a higher amount of salt showed a stronger immune response to the bacteria, and their wounds cleared more quickly. You see, our world has been daily injected with doses of evil, violence, and unrighteousness, and we need to counteract it by being the salt of the earth. Because as you and I go out there, and we are kind, and we are gentle, and we are peacemakers, and we are pure of heart, it will bring more healing. It takes you all the way back to Mark 9:50. This is the second half as we're pursuing and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Mark 9:50 says, "Have salt within yourselves continually and be at peace with one another." Now, I shared this, I think, on the first week, just about the different uses of salt, but righteousness kind of means to restore to a right relationship. So the righteous are those who maintain right relationships, first and foremost with God and with other people. And listen, this goes back to the two of the greatest commandments, right? To love God and to love others. And so the question becomes, do you hunger and thirst for right relationships, first with God and then also with your coworkers and with your family, and with your community? You know, Mark 9:50, which we just talked about, and in Colossians 4:6, that says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. What this means is they have to do with living a life of peace and harmony with other Jesus followers and those that we come into contact with who are not yet Jesus followers. And so in the ancient world, something like this, a covenant between two parties, a commitment between two parties, they would do so around a meal, and the expression was that they had salt together. And you go into Acts 1:4, and it's Jesus' final interaction with his disciples before his ascension, and he sat down, and this took place while he was eating with them. It was a phrase that literally translates while he was having salt together with them. And this is so important in who we're becoming. It's so important to as we personally get diluted by things of the world, by sin around us, by things in our heart, that we have others around us that can come and fill us up, right? How do you make something that loses its salt more salty? You add salt to it. And so we need one another. And so we need to be people that are having salt together. And I don't know why, and this just came to me. We need to be a people that are assaulting one another, okay? That's right. I said assaulting. Okay, I'm a dad of nine. It's one of those dad jokes. I got to keep those things fresh, and I got to keep them rolling. So you're welcome. It's one of those things we got to assault one another. It's weird, but it's memorable. You'd be like, hey, what'd you learn this week at church? What'd your pastor preach about? He told me to go assault people. And you're like, oh, sweet. I mean, it's a good conversation starter, am I right? You begin to talk about, like, well, I'm going to assault you with kindness. And they're like, oh, I'll take some of that. You know what I'm saying? And so So what do I mean by assault? So I made this whole definition of what it means to assault somebody. So here it goes. To constantly remind other Jesus followers that they are the salt of the earth, encouraging them, praying for them, and holding them accountable to who they are in Jesus. And then it's also to be the salt of the earth to those who are not yet Jesus followers. Let's assault one another, right? Here's what I can say. If Jesus followers are continually assaulting one another, y'all going to stay salty, you know what I'm saying? We're going to stay salty. We're going to be salty together. Now, I want to do something. I'm going to bring my good buddies, Josh and Varney, up here with me. You guys come up and sit down. As they come to the stage, you can welcome them to the stage. I'm going to put a lid on this. I don't want my super salty water to spill.
Varney said he actually wanted that.
Get in there, man. Get some. Oh, don't do it.
Big sip. Come on. Okay. For everybody.
So what I wanted to do, I wanted to kind of talk about and kind of give you a glimpse of what assaulting each other looks like. We assault each other in both areas, right? Like, we have physically harmed each other, just wanting to be mean. But we've also Lord.
Oh.
That was like half a thing
big gulp
of
with
salt.
It's so salty.
This is what happens.
And
when
here's
when
how
you
really
to youth.
Here's how you really assault your friends. You share the cup of salt.
Oh.
You did it, so now you're gonna have to do it too.
You guys are the
Wait,
worst.
Wait, is this how you get? I'm not gonna do it. He might have.
That's
COVID.
How you get COVID, man.
Yeah. I thought about it. I thought about these people judging me like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Half these people are wearing masks. We should be wearing masks.
I have my mask.
This is a peaceful protest. There's too many people up here. Can I not say that? That's the line, huh?
My mouth is so salty right now.
Stay salty, bro. See how it works? It works. Oh. I kept that man salty. Okay, so here's, I'm sorry. This is how it goes with us when we get together. So bear with us. 40 minutes from now, we'll still be talking.
You did this.
We won't. You can leave if we are. Okay, so we've been friends for a long time. I've been friends with him a little bit longer than him. As we became friends, they were both just horrible, horrible people. And I helped them see the light. Here, man, get some more of this. It'll help. I'm kidding on that. But we became friends. We've been friends over the year. They were smart enough to join me on this venture out to plant the church. Notice how I said smart. There's another word for it.
Maybe,
okay.
Yeah, maybe a different word I would choose.
Definitely not the word I'd choose.
So over the years, here's the thing. Over the years, I've assaulted you both, yes? So what I wanted to give you both 2 minutes and 46 seconds. I'm just kidding. You're done. Oh, he stood up. He's going to punch me.
I thought you were going to assault.
Can you... And I told them what we were doing, but I didn't, like, tell them anything. So this is all off the cuff, right? Can you kind of just share how I've assaulted you? I'm telling you, bro. Tell people about this. Like, hey, my pastor assaults people. Can you, like, how have I assaulted you over the years, and how has that helped you? Either one of you can go. You're both going to answer the question, but either one of you can start.
You're good.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you're good.
He's more salty than you right now. So.
You're just filled with salt, so I just wanted to...
I mean, we talk about salt, like, adding flavor. Like, both of you actually have added a lot of flavor to my life, you know what I'm saying? Some flavors are a little bit better than others, but there have been times where, you know, I've been kind of locked in... inside my own head a lot, and my wife, bless her heart, you know, I only listen to her so much. You know, as husbands, you can only take so much advice.
Honey, I don't.
From your, yeah. Anyway,
what
but
are you doing, bro?
I don't know. I'm digging a hole, apparently.
Put the shovel down.
But anyway, my point being is, you know, in those times, like, you've really spoken life into me and help me get out of those spaces, and you know, without some of your salt, you know, who knows where I'd be. You know, maybe I'd be rotten, you know what I'm saying, or spoiled. I don't know. Am I making sense? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Do we have to ride the analogy further like you just did?
You don't.
Cool. Because I'm not gonna be able to do that. Kind of piggybacking on what you were saying, I think there's so many times when it just, the enemy, especially in seasons right now, the enemy kind of finds you in your dark times, and he'll kind of just speak into you, and his voice is louder even though it's untrue. And I think when you're losing your salt, when you're deluding yourself into believing that you can do this on your own, you don't need these people, that little slight that you took out of context, he's going to help screw around in your head so that you're focusing on that and that alone to keep you from staying salty. And I think there have been times where I've asked for it, and with God's help, I've had that moment of clarity where I'm like, hey, I'm struggling, my salt's all gone, I need y'all to assault me. We're still doing this.
Yes, right? I love it.
And but then there have been, I don't know, I lost it there at the end. You can.
We just need shirts.
This analogy is—it's hard for me. It's a hard one for me. My brain. I told my wife.
Okay, so think
good.
About it. So if there, think about maybe a time. I get really what I'll say to you. There have been seasons where you've gone through something, or you've been questioning yourself, doubting yourself, doubting your calling, you know, just times like that. Me as well. And so, in those times, I've been there for you. And what I wanted to say is vice versa. These aren't guys that are just coming and saying, hey, man, assault me, and I'm not going to assault you back. They do assault me back. And so I think one of the key things, though, we've had some difficult conversations. Some like if I say this, we might throw down conversations. But if we're willing to understand that salt is trying to assault,
right,
then you can move through it and you can grow from it. And so have there been times when things that I have said, advice that I have given you, made you upset?
1,000,000%.
For sure, 100.
Yeah.
There have been times where you've challenged me, right, to step outside of myself, and my headspace is normally that of like, well, I can't do this, and I put a lot of roadblocks up, and then you challenge me to kind of push through those, and sometimes I want to punch you in the face for challenging me like that.
That's what you know when you're doing
something
right.
You got that early Moses vibe going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you assault somebody with salt, and they want to assault you with hurt, you're doing something right, okay?
Right.
That's the reality. But I think that's it. I think there's a portion of this, especially as we're holding each other accountable and wanting to help and encourage one another, that we've got to be willing to have those tough conversations, because it's not always going to be easy. You will see your brother or sister in Christ stumbling or maybe just lacking or doubting, and you've got to be willing to fill yourself up so that you can gracefully, lovingly add salt back into their life and help them in that way.
And I agree with that 100%, and it's really like if you love people as much as you say you love them, right? If we care about each other the way that we say we do and the way that Jesus sets the example, you want the best for them regardless of what that looks like. So whether that makes you uncomfortable, whether it makes me uncomfortable, if it's going to benefit me, if it's going to benefit you, that stuff has to happen.
Yeah, because the eternal is bigger than the immediate.
Yeah, for sure.
In so many of those situations.
And I don't want to speak for you guys, but I can honestly say this. There have been moments in the last 8, 9, how long have we known each other? Since
too
birth,
long.
Right? Too long, that's it. Where there have been moments where you hit like a bottom and you're just done. And you guys have encouraged me and spoke truth into me. It just multiple seasons. And I hope that I've been able to be that for you as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
He was hesitant.
Yes.
I don't think he was. But so I just like, I mean, and it's one of those things that there's a trust, there's an openness, there's a vulnerability. I was going to add this a little bit later, but so we have, I've talked about the Marco Polo app. Anyone use Marco Polo? It's just like a video back and forth thing. And
is it fully called Marco Polo, or is it just called Marco?
It's Marco Polo.
We just call it Marco
because
we're cool. And
I didn't know.
And we're with it. But it is called Marco Polo. And so I think at the beginning of the year, just because we couldn't be around each other as much, we got into a group. And, dude, it's been life-changing for me. And these guys will tell you, like, hanging out with me doesn't happen all that much. But mute his mic for a second. but what Marco Polo has allowed us to do is to daily assault one another. And it's things like, hey, how you doing? How's your reading? Like, what's going on? How can we pray for you? And it's been so huge for me just being able to have that, because I can't always hang out. But this is an area where we can assault one another all the time. And so Marco's been awesome for me, and I want you guys to know that. I think I've told you guys that. Like, it's so integral into helping as I go through some of these journeys. You know, you think as a pastor, like, he's got it all together. False. I do not. And I need men like Josh and Varney and a lot of the other men that are here. There's like 7 dudes in that chat now, I think.
Yeah, you keep adding people.
I do. I want to assault as many people as I possibly can. and my hope is that they will want to punch me at some point in that conversation, but it's been very key. And so I wanted to share and kind of give you that insight a little bit and let you hear from these guys. Anything else to add about any of that? You don't have to.
I mean, nah.
I was hesitant, and I'm going to do it even though it doesn't answer your question. Fill out your Connect cards and join a group.
Well, yeah. And that's kind
Those
of
are,
where it goes.
They're huge things. That's fine. You can go deeper into it, but I'm going to push it as well. I'm going to assault before I leave. You
You're
going to
assault
saying?
Everybody on their way out.
I'm going to assault everyone in this room before
I
leave today.
If you don't join a group, I will punch you.
I didn't say that because that's on the record, but
I saw what you were thinking. Well, let's give it up for Josh and Barney. Thank you guys for joining. I got to move some stuff. All right, I'm going to put this over here. Okay, so that's, I mean, that's really what I'm talking about. You know, when we're talking about assaulting one another, it's just that, man. Just like the definition says, we're there for one another, and we're willing to have those difficult conversations that may come up. And, you know, I think I shared it in there, but doing this back and forth, it does require you to be open, to be vulnerable, to get out of your comfort zone. This is a big one, to let go of your pride and your insecurity in order to say, hey, I am struggling with this. Have you guys dealt with this? Can you help me out? And what I'll say to you is I think a lot of times the enemy likes to lie to us and get us thinking that we're the only one that ever struggles with this. It's such a lie. And there are other people, but he wants to keep you isolated. And if he can keep you isolated, he will bury you in it. And don't let him do that. Get out there, assault one another. But I think another key aspect to this as well is you got to be not okay with your unsaltiness. You got to be not okay with your unrighteousness in your life. So assault others and be open to being assaulted. Yo, I assault people all the time. I had a gentleman reach out to me, and I haven't spoken to him. He was a guy that came to our old church, and he reached out to me and. He needed some help, and he said, hey, can you pray for me? Here's what I'm going through. And I sent him back like this whole list of like, here's what you need to do. And I said, also, I said, get on Marco so I can assault you to the face. I didn't say assault, but I said, I want to have a face-to-face conversation with you so that I can help you through whatever you're doing. I frequent the Starbucks way too many times, almost to the fact that it's like a running joke that like they're like, we'll see you in a few hours. And so, but the other day, I was waiting pretty long in line, and I could tell like something had happened, and you could tell they were a little bit frazzled. And so when I got up to the window, you know what I said? I just screamed in the window, and that's always nice when people are screaming at you. I said, you guys are awesome, and you're doing an amazing job. And, you know, it's one of those things I think oftentimes they expect people to be, you know, upset and because they're in a hurry and they didn't want to wait this long at the drive-thru for their coffee. And I said, listen, you guys understand that you bring joy to millions of people every single day, right? Like you give them this amazing things. And so there are always opportunities to assault people. So what I'll say to you is, this is my challenge. Assault your family. Assault your kids. Assault your coworkers. Assault your spouse, assault your neighbors, assault complete strangers, because the world needs more salt, and it starts with you and I being the salt of the earth. I want to close this out. Would you guys bow your heads and pray with me? And here's the reality. We do need each other. We're not meant to walk this alone. We're not meant to go through this life alone. We're not meant to face the difficulties in our life alone. So we need each other. So my prayer today, God, my prayer right now, as we've been in the midst of a year where the enemy has tried to isolate us from you and other believers, I pray, God, that we would combat that in any way we possibly can. Any way to be open, any way to be vulnerable, any way to communicate, so that we will not lose our saltiness. It is more than apparent that this world's and our country's moral compass is way off. And God, what it needs is more people who are humble and who are peacemakers and who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. God, I pray every day we would go to your word to be filled up. I pray that we would communicate with you to be filled up. I pray that we would reach out to fellow Jesus followers to be filled up, but not we would just be filled up for our own benefit, but so that we could fill up to give that out, to deal hope, to deal peace, to deal joy to a world that is hurting. God, I know in the midst of all of this, maybe there has been a bit of unrighteousness on our end. Or something happened and we didn't respond the way we should. we said something that we regret, or we drove a wedge between a relationship that we loved. And our pride or our arrogance or our insecurity has kept us from reconciling that. God, I pray that we would seek someone else out for guidance and for counsel so that we can reconcile. God, right now I pray for the person who is hearing about being the salt of the earth, and they've been hurt, they've been betrayed, they feel like people have just walked all over them their entire life, but they're hearing about this salt, about being more like Jesus. And I pray for that person right now that if they don't have a relationship with you, that they would begin one right now, recognizing that Jesus is your son, that he died on the cross for them, for their sins, and that he rose again 3 days later so that they could be forgiven and given new life and new purpose. I pray that they would take that step, but if they have questions about it, that they would be willing to talk or to ask or to open up so they no longer have to do this life alone. God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us today. I thank you for the friendships that you've given me. I thank you for this community of believers that you continually are stirring up towards love and good deeds to be there for one another and hold each other accountable. But I pray that we will continue to be that even when conversations get tough, that we would still be people that are assaulting one another every single day. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.